And then it just got worse and worse and worse. And I'm telling people I'm fucking dying, dude, and nobody's believing me.
Connect with us on the Emotion Wellness Podcast for a transformative journey of human connection. Witness personal stories, improve your mental health education, and acquire valuable resources for optimizing your well-being. Delve into the raw and courageous narratives of individuals who have thrived through adversity, gained clarity amongst the ashes, and emerged with an unshakable mindset. Available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And visit emotionwellness.com for more information.
My name is Jason Turner, and this is the Emotion Wellness Podcast. I am so excited today to introduce my friend and guest, Frank Parisi. This is a guy who I'm so impressed with, grateful to have in my life, and I'm really, really excited. When I thought of the concept for this show and what I wanted to do as far as present and show others the power of personal resilience, mindset, and the way that people overcome tragedy and difficulty, I can't think of anyone that I've had experience with who can do this better than Frank. I'm so excited you guys get to meet him today and look forward to this conversation that we're about to have.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks for coming down, you know.
Oh, dude, this is dope.
Getting to watch you was something that literally changed. I mean, I think that's what you're after, right? Is trying to change people's lives and influence. But from this, and this is what I was telling a friend of mine, he's four doors down. His name's Aaron Garza, and he owns Pure Line Nutrition Products, and he's a super, super good human. And I was telling him about you, and I said, here's the thing, because let's be honest, there's a lot of people on social that are just complete, they're just full of shit, right? And I think your positivity and the way that you have attacked this thing and the profound, like what you went through, right? We'll get into that story, but what you went through, all of the things that have happened in your attitude, I was on the phone with you when you found out. Like, not as in the moment, but like literally within 24 hours, you talked to me one day and you're like, I got walking pneumonia. And then you were like, these motherfuckers did misdiagnose me and I got to get a heart. And I was like, what? And you instantly were like, it's God's plans, bro. It's God's plans. God's plans. And so I'm somebody who has kind of vacillated in belief and faith at times where it's kind of like, you know, I get that succumb to victim's mentality, like, oh, poor me, so fuck God type of shit. And it's an area of my life that I don't like about myself, but you have really helped me to squash that. So I just want to say, because there's nothing in my life. I mean, struggle is relative, right? But when you look at your story, I think across the spectrum, we could take a pool of people who would see your story and be like, yeah, that's a level 10 intensity. You know what I'm saying? As far as like what's happened to you. And so I don't know what happened in the seriously dark moments, I'm sure, and I'd like to hear about them if you, you know, and if you're willing to go there. But what I saw from the get with you was nothing but bring it. Like, this is acceptance. This is my life. What can I do with it? I'm not going to sit around and let this take me out. In fact, I'm going to take it and use it to move myself and take a whole bunch of people with me.
Fuck yeah.
And that's like seriously badass. You know what I mean? So I'm really, really glad that I get to know you. I'm super, super stoked that you're like part of my life and that we get to have this moment, right? Because I've had some struggles in my career and like not being content and had to fight my way to get to this place where I could have, I didn't see this. If you asked me a year ago, if I'd be podcasting, I'd be like, hell no, I don't want to be out there. So anyway, I just really want to thank you for being here.
Oh, bro, thank you so much for having me, dog. I love you, man.
You're my brother.
This is dope. So what do you want to know about, man? Like, what do you want to know about? You want to know about?
Well, I know a lot, but like, I guess I'm curious about some stuff. And I want people.
Because my life is crazy.
I want people to know. I want the more people to know you.
Yeah.
I guess I was thinking about this conversation from the.
Do you want to talk about like what just recently happened, or do you want to like a little history of my life?
I'd like to. What went through my brain as we were as I was thinking about this process, is. I really would like to delve into like there's three parts I see. There's the Frank Parisi kind of like where you were at 5 years ago. Let's just take like that, right? So it's like I met you about 5 years ago. We were working at the same place.
Yeah.
We connected on
different. I actually was working for another company.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And I came out and visit with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were so stressed back then. And super like, stressed. You were like, I was like, so I'm surprised your heart didn't quit before.
Dude, it was super stressed. This industry made it. Yeah. Like.
It was like every week we were helping each other decompress, right? And so, yeah. Kyle, like that phase of life, right? So my first question is, when you look at your current mindset today,
yeah,
versus Frank Parisi 5 years ago, what's the biggest difference?
Oh wow, woo! No more noise. Nothing can penetrate me.
Mm.
There's no more noise. There's no more fear. There's absolutely no fear. And all I focus on now, my brother, nothing else. I swear the only thing I focus on is my growth, my evolution, and my elevation. That's it. And helping others. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My man always says it. I'm going to quote him. And I told him I was going to quote him. He said that, and you know who you are. He said that, the rising tide raises all boats.
Mm-hmm.
So as I continue to evolve and elevate, so do all my people.
Yeah.
So does my family. And like, even for me, it's like, and I get off topic, so get me back on topic. But like, for me, this whole experience, Jason, like everything that I grinded for, everything that I did when you knew me, everything I was doing wasn't for me, brother. Everything I was doing was for my son. And the man that I developed today and changed into was also for my son because, you know, like I come from a lot of fucking trauma and hurt. And I had to reinvent myself as a man in order to become this new human being. And it was more for my future generations, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I really, and when I was in the hospital, bro, I said to myself, like, again, God is using me as a tool to be able to use this experience to help others to overcome. Like, I knew that, like, in recovery, when I got sober, God had used me because I'm able to connect with, you know, dudes that most people can't, right? Like, I was in the bottom. I was the guy that was in jail. Like, I've come from the streets. So I could reach those guys that most people can't. Flip side is now, like, as we develop, it's like I've developed this human that can now reach those type of people, but I also could reach, you know, anybody. And I feel like God used me now in this experience to be able to more reach a bigger audience than just people in recovery. You know, but more of the masses. So I think the biggest thing for the mindset piece is, man, like, and I could go into the story or not, but like when I was in the hospital, like I had the out-of-body experience, brother. And like once I've like had that experience, like this is not it. Like we always have beliefs about this stuff, but I truly had the experience. So there's nothing to fear. And all the shit that we think is serious or like super like in the moment.
It's the noise, right? All the noise.
The noise. It's not, bro. It's not. You know what I mean? It's not. It's bullshit. And I think that the more that we can, it's programming, brother, right? Like you got to put the new computer program in. You know what I mean? And it's like every day, it's like the new computer program goes in. Like for example, yesterday I went for my biopsy. I get the biopsy now every other month. I only have one more left. June is my last one.
How does that feel?
So amazing, bro. So grateful, you know? I hate going up there. The beautiful thing about going up there, though, is, like, I get to see all the nurses and doctors because I have such a good, like, I love them, you know?
And, real quick, so he may not say this, but yesterday or the day that you were up there, I watched the social media post. You got the thing in your neck and you do the bit around like, yeah, I just signed this thing that says I might die. So here I am. And then the very next clip is like, is you working out? It's like, I went and did my appointment and now, you know, dues are owed and I got to go take care of myself. And
I always say this. It's like negative vibration, negative thought, negative people is not part of the regular scheduling program, bro.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever we deal with, we deal with. Whatever emotions arise within me over what had happened, I feel, but that's not part of the regular scheduled program.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get it. Yeah.
The regular scheduled programming is about evolution and elevation and growth, and negative vibration doesn't fit into that shit.
That myopic focus for you on, like, what's important, which is what I'm hearing you say, right? It's like I sort of got clarity on what has meaning in my life and what's important. Obviously, your son's at the top of that list. And I think like the clarity that you have around, okay, I want to be this person for him. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the, aside from that factor, or is that the only factor that prevented you from adopting, which most people would say makes sense, like a victim mentality, right? So it kind of, what I've seen you do is go from a why me to a why not me kind of mentality, right?
Absolutely.
Which I hear a lot of people talk about. There's a lot of noise about it. There's a lot of people who are like using it as a trendy phrase to draw attention to themselves. But like, I have the benefit and the privilege of knowing you. So I know that it's legit, which is where I get excited because I'm pretty quick to say, oh, that looks like a bunch of BS or, and none of us really want to be around that.
Yeah.
And you're totally authentic with it. And so I'm really curious because I struggled for many, many, many years with victim mentality that was like, and it was both this weird combination of like, I hate this about myself. And yet, how do I turn it off? Because it seemed like a never ending waterfall of like, it's not fair. It's not fair. And it was, I didn't know how to change it. Right. And I don't have kids and I didn't really have much to sort of focus on, but I'm curious, like, is there some other attribute? Is there some other experience in your life? Is it just character? Like, what do you think it is that prevented you from succumbing to a why me kind of mentality?
Man, I, at this point in my life, like now when everything happened, because I was investing so much in myself over the past X amount of years, like, it was honestly, bro, I'm gonna be honest with you, like, one of the greatest things I did last year was I joined that group that group that Eric Spofford put on, because I met the dude Nick S, and he told me in one of those groups, he said he had talked about his brother passing away and how he had never felt like a man. And then in that moment, his dad asked him to call his family and let them know that the brother passed away. He couldn't do it. And he asked himself in that moment, what's the gift? And what am I going to become because of it? And I think when we ask our mind, and Nick, I fucking love you. You know I love you. I'm going to actually be with him next week. When you ask yourself questions, you get different answers. You know what I mean? And I think the questions had to start to fucking change for me, brother. And also the people that I started to hang around with, like, is high vibrating individuals, you know, that I can maybe grab some shit from. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And learn from. And I think that's what it is. It's like the energy of what it is. And for me, like, when we met, I was like in so much of a grind because I come from the streets, and it was very difficult when I got sober and when I got my life in order and I started this path of growth, because back home was still in the same circle of what they were doing, all the street shit, my background.
Dysfunction, toxicity.
All the dysfunction, you know? So it's hard to separate, especially when you have family that's still stuck in the street and doing all that stuff, and you're on a growth projection, you know? It's hard to separate the two, and that was a struggle for me, like, when we met. I also had gone through some stuff in the industry where I had, like, two businesses that failed and didn't do well, and I failed forward, so I had a lot of bitterness towards what was going on with that, and I was just trying to make stuff happen. I had a kid. I had no safety net. It was on, like, me and my wife to make things happen, and I was out there trying to make things happen. While I'm helping people, I was still trying to better me and my family, so there was a lot of stress going on with that. And then, like, all the things happened, right? Like, since COVID. Then my dad passed away from cancer. A month later, my grandmother died. A month after that, I herniated my disc in my C4 and C5. And then, like, a month after that, one of my best friends was murdered in Staten Island. It was, like, a crazy year.
Just a few things.
It's like the hits just kept coming. But I was definitely off balance in that, you know, even though I've been working on myself through that process. I was completely off balance in that. I was selling a house, building another house. I had all this stuff going on. I was in the middle of working with a company in California. COVID happened. I didn't know if anything, what was going to happen with my career. So I was completely off kiltered, man. But I think that we can, like, through those processes, honestly, Jay, like, I feel like everything that I went through in my life, even my childhood, the hardness going in, I don't want to get into all the garbage, but, like, even being in jail and treatment and the ugliness, all the pain, dude, like, that's what makes you the most sharpest motherfucker out there. When you go through hard shit, like, I don't want a soft life. I want a fucking hard life. Mm-hmm. Bring it on. That's why when I was in the fucking hospital, exactly what you said, I was like, let's go. Fucking, this is where we're at. Embrace your fucking current reality. Dude, you gotta have a fucking heart transplant. Dude, you gotta learn how to walk. Dude, you got 4 surgeries you gotta fucking go through. This is what the fuck you gotta do, Frank. So let's fucking get up. Warrior mm-hmm. mentality. I kept saying that shit to myself. You're a warrior, son. You're a warrior, son. I kept getting up and fucking walking, but it was because I went through everything in my life that was hard. The good and the bad. The street, my upbringing, the trauma, the fucking violence, then getting into business and fucking having to learn, go from the street to learning how to now be a businessman and the old belief systems of the street, mm-hmm. you know, battling that within myself, you know, and then getting, you know, learning in the processes of being fucked over in the industry, you know, and that's a lot on a fucking human being. Absolutely. You got to keep your fucking sword sharp, you know? But I'm grateful for the experience that just happened to me because I feel like, honestly, the old fucking heart had to go. You know what I mean?
No, I love
like,
that.
It had to fucking go, yeah. Dude. You know? And it's so spiritual. Now I have, like, this fucking other human in me right now. I can't wait to meet their family. Like, I'm never going to shit on their family. They gave me life, dude.
Yeah.
So, like, what am I doing with this shit? Like, I've been so awake to everything. Like, what am I doing with this food? What am I doing with everything that I'm doing? You know? I lacked vision for a long time. I just wanted success. You know? I just wanted to be... At first, I was just want to be sober. Then I was like, oh, I'm sober now. This is cool. But now I want to be like, fucking... I don't want to just make fucking... You know, without Mike, I want to be able to provide for a family. I want to be able to. So I kept pushing and kept pushing and kept pushing. I kept failing forward. I kept failing forward. I kept doing it. And then we got to this place here now. And I believe that God kept me here for a greater reason, my brother, to be doing shit like this,
yeah.
To be connecting with so many people. My life's dope, bro. Not like, even though I went through everything I went through, how many people get to go through this? How many people get to meet fucking, have another human in their body?
Well, that's the power, and it's incredible just listening to you. That's, to me, that's the power of your message, is that you experienced this seriously intense, traumatic life scenario. And because you were equipped with the tools and the pieces and you had the mentality to be able to fall forward and produce from it, right? To grow. Your message is like, hey, these are the things that are important, and you don't need to end up walking into a hospital thinking you have walking pneumonia, find out you need a new heart in order to get this clarity. Like, let me send the message. So it's like, if people are willing to hear it, right? It's like, let me bring the message forward, which is like, hey, these are the things I realized as a result of this experience, which was painful. I'm sure it was scary, right? Yeah.
Bro. Forget it, dude. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about that, too. I mean, you know, it was crazy, brother. Like, I mean, I had a cough for 5 months. I'm going to all different doctors. I'm traveling around the country. I'm in shape. You saw me. Now I'm getting worse. I'm getting worse. The doctors, now I go to a pulmonologist, finally. He says I have organizing pneumonia, rare organizing pneumonia.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
And they gave me a bunch of antibiotics, and they said I'm going to be on... steroids, for high-dose steroids, prednisone for 6 months. And then it just got worse and worse and worse. And I'm telling people I'm fucking dying, dude, and nobody's believing me. Like, I felt so hopeless, my brother.
Mm.
Think about that. You're going to doctors. You're going to specialists. And you're telling them, I feel like I'm dying and no one's believing you. You're talking to your friends and they're like, you're not dying, bro. My wife.
Look at you, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's no way you're dying. Dude, you had a six-pack. How are you fucking dying? I'm like, I can't eat. I'm coughing up orange stuff. Then May 8th, I cough up a half a bottle of blood, and I go to the hospital. That morning, I didn't know that I was dying, bro. I felt like I was dying, but I was also listening to everyone else, like, oh, it's the pneumonia. That's why you're having this heart palpitation. I was having fucking heart attacks, you know? Couldn't sleep, bro, for weeks. I was losing weight. I was working out, you know, it was a rough year last year. And then going into the hospital that day, I never thought that this is it. And then I get to the hospital and it's like, they're like, you have sepsis. My wife leaves me. Now they treat me with fluids, which is the worst thing to do when someone's in heart failure. So I get even more sick. And then another nurse comes in and puts the wrong pick into my arm. The medication infantry. This is May. Imagine you wake up one day. Now this is your new life. May 8th. And now all of a sudden you're in a hospital. They say you have sepsis. You feel like you're dying. A nurse puts the wrong pick in your arm. The medication infiltrates your arm. You have this giant blister in your arm. I don't know if they can
see it on there, but
giant blister on my arm that I had to get skin graft surgery for. Then another doctor walks in and goes, this guy doesn't have sepsis. He's got 9% heart. He's got to get rushed to Baylor Scott & White in Temple, Texas. He's dying. Now picture that. Go into the psyche of that, that drive. Mm-hmm. You're alone. My son and my wife in Austin. I'm in Lakeway. Now I'm driving up to Temple, Texas by myself.
Just like, what the fuck?
What the fuck is happening, dude? Am I about to die? You know what I mean? See, people don't fucking like realize that shit, dude. Mm. You know what I mean?
It puts a lot of things in check, too.
So much, bro. And how about I get there? My wife's there waiting with a fucking picture of my kid begging me to live. You know what I'm saying? Begging me to fucking live. And I got 10 minutes to talk to her because there's a team of doctors waiting in there and they're like, we're going to put him on a ventilator and he might not make it. And her only idea of a fucking ventilator is fucking COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And he might not make it. And I got 10 minutes to tell my wife about like finances, bro. Talk about fucking in that moment. What am I going to do, bro? God is fucking everything, bro. Yeah. God is everything. I give you my child and my wife and my life. You get what I'm saying? Some real shit, bro. I give it all. And then I fucking live, bro. Have an out-of-body experience. My friend who was killed fucking comes down. He's with me. And I'm looking down at my body. And I see me and my wife. I'm in the fucking recovery room. And fucking my man is looking to take me up. I hear the voice of whatever it is. And they're like, yo, we want you to come up. And I said, honestly, I like want to be here with my family. And I had a vision of my son growing up without me. And the voice told me that you're going to come back. We'll let you come back, but you're going to suffer. So I came back, dude, you know, and I lived and I went through all that fucking suffering. But even when I was in the fucking hospital, I had the fucking picture of my kid there the whole time. And I'd be like, all right, Frank, you gotta now learn how to walk. You've been in the bed for 9 days. They had a pump in my groin for 9 days, bro. I lost so much weight. I was in atrial fibrillation. No one knew what was wrong with me. They didn't know I had a gene yet. They didn't know what was wrong with me for a few weeks till the genetic testing came back. They had no clue what was wrong with me. Imagine that. They had hazmat suits on. Bro, imagine it's like a movie of Black Mirror. May 8th, I woke up. I'm going to the doctor.
We were just talking about that this morning.
You know what I mean?
Black Mirror stuff.
I'm waking up at May 8th. I'm going to the doctor. I know I'm sick, but I don't know what this is about to happen. And I got a thing on my arm. I got fucking, they got a hazmat thing because they think I might have some form of tuberculosis because of the orange shit I'm spitting up, which is blood. It's blood because my valve and my heart's leaking into my lungs.
Mm.
So they're now like I'm like the freak in the ICU. Like, bro, going to the psyche, dog.
Well, you're like the freak now. Who comes out of that with
but
the
I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, yo, you been here, dog. You been in situations where you don't know when the fuck you're getting out. You've been in situations where you don't know what your future looks like. So I've been here. So it's like, once you've been in the fucking fire, you don't get burnt no more, dude. It's like, whatever. Nothing can stop me now after all this shit. There's not, I have no fear. You're in a dream. I went to the purgatory. We're good. Create the dream you want. Yeah. Stay in high vibration. That's what God wants. God wants us to create. God wants us doing this. God wants us connecting. God wants us helping. God wants us growing. You know what I'm saying? Like a fucking plant, dude. You know?
Yeah.
Nonstop. So that's the mindset, bro. Constant evolution. And the beautiful thing is, because this is all I focus on, I got a whole team of doctors now, right? I could call them 24/7. And I got so cool with all the doctors. Like, I speak for them. Like, I spoke at the Global Cardiogenic Shock Conference in Mexico and America for my doctor. Dr. Hernandez, I love you. Shout out to you. But I love him. He's the man. He's fucking phenomenal. But I'm doing stuff with them now, man. It's like beautiful. Like, how many blessings? I wrote a book. What is the gift? I'm awake to every fucking moment, dude. I don't take nothing for granted, dude. I love you. And I love you too, dog. Like, no bullshit. I love you and I'm grateful for you, bro. And I just text people that every day. Because it needs to be said, bro.
Well, you have an experience that's of reality that's just different than a lot of people. Most people are still suffering from the illusion of control.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this idea of like, and it's terrifying to think about. Part of our human psyche protects us from this constant, we'd be in a consistent state of anxiety if we thought this way all the time, right? And didn't have a way to deal with it. But the idea that like, when I get up tomorrow morning, my assumption is, how many people wake up and say, oh, I dread the day, I gotta go to work. But you don't even know if you're gonna make it to work.
Correct.
You know, you don't even know what's gonna change, what phone call could come in. We don't think in those terms unless we come across a dude like you who makes it real or something happens to us.
Yeah.
And then it's like you find out, and I love what you were just saying about, I was thinking about you when you were like, yes, I don't want to go upstairs yet. I was thinking of Game of Thrones is always kind of in my rolling in my background, and there's a not today, motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going today. I'm going to.
Yeah.
And the idea that it was like, if you stay here, you're going to suffer. And you're like, yeah, my son's worth it. You know, mm-hmm. that's powerful.
He watches me, brother. Everything I do, he does everything I do. I work out, he works out. You know, he does. My friends, MMA fighters, he does taekwondo. He does football. He does soccer. You know what I mean? The kid does everything I do. So, like, that's another thing, especially as a parent. You see this in our society. I don't want to get off track, but it's like our society is obese. It's lazy.
You're telling me?
Dudes are, like, playing video games that are grown men and shit. It's like, dude, like, you got a little man or a little girl looking after you, and they're going to grow up to be you, or they're going to actually pick you. So if you have a daughter, she's going to pick you as a husband, and if you have a son, he's going to grow up to be you.
Yeah.
So, like, what are you creating within yourself for them and their future generations?
Well,
you know what I mean?
You brought up it's the premise of our entire program here at Emotion, right, is getting uncomfortable. It's doing hard stuff. It's not just that. It's seeing what you're capable of. It's like literally showing yourself, hey, this is what my capacity is. And 99.9% of the people that I come across discover that they're way more capable than they thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about your experience, right? Like, understanding yourself as a warrior, seeing it. But do you look back at this experience and is there any part of you that's like, holy shit, man, I'm handling this in a way that surprises me? Or are you just, is it something that you just think, yes, this is how I am?
This is me, bro.
Yeah.
This is me, bro. I've been in so many fires in life. The most insane shit since a kid, brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I used to watch guys at 4 or 5 years old get the head split over them with baseball bats. I've always been in crazy environments, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just like, it's just been my mentality to, like, when things get hard, I fucking dig harder, bro. I'm like Braveheart, dude, at the end when he's fucking getting, let's go. Freedom!
Yeah.
You know, I think honestly, Jason, the most important thing, like a lot, like in my book, I talk about faith, family, health, hustle, and purpose. And I think that when we pour into that, and I talk about like family doesn't even have to be blood. You know, you create your own family, you know, and I think it's very important to start with, like, everything starts with whatever it is for anybody, a greater source, God, higher power, spirit of the universe, whatever the fuck it is, dude. We have to tap into that energy because we're atoms and molecules, brother, that vibrate. We're energy. So there is a higher source of energy. We're in a fucking ball of mass and space. It's tap into whatever the fuck it is for you. That's number one. Build your family, right? Make sure you take care of your health. But health isn't just like what we do, like diet, nutrition, fucking. But it's the other shit too, right? It's like it's our diet. Like, absolutely, what do we feed our minds, right?
Yeah, I had the physical part mastered for a long time. It was the, you know, my story a couple of years ago is facing the mindset,
absolutely, which was like
the poor me, why me,
yes,
you know, bitter. The other thing I think is really incredible from my perspective, and I think other people would agree with me, your strength and your commitment and acceptance and the way that you've made it so you can thrive in this,
yes,
is incredible. What I hone in on because I grew up with a lot of bitterness, was that you just don't have any bitterness. Like, and that I think is where your vibration and your frequency piece yes. comes in. Cause it's like you have stuff to be bitter about. Like, they fucked up your arm and they did this and they did that. And you're sitting here today, you know, giving shouts out to the doctors and the medical staff. And like, no, you're not focused on the problem. You're focused on the purpose and the solution. And absolutely. I think that's key.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. That's all it is. It's like, here was my mindset. I don't know why the gene was activated. I could go and through a million different fucking reasons, right? But what good is it gonna do for me, right? So it's like I'm in a ditch. Who the fuck cares how if the I car cut you off and put you in the fucking ditch? You're in the ditch. Worrying about how you got in the fucking ditch ain't gonna get you out of the fucking ditch. So my main focus is like, we're in a ditch. Let's just focus on getting out of the ditch. Mm-hmm. All right, now we're out of the ditch. Now it's like, well, where are we going?
Well, what I hear you saying, you know what I mean? Is like, you're out of the ditch. Now how do I keep other people from falling in the ditch?
I want other people to get out of the ditch and not even just get out of the ditch. Where are you going? Mm-hmm. That's the piece that people lack. The world is, most people, and they teach us this from young, right? Like, don't think. Do what you're told. Like, what is your vision? And I'm not saying, like, everybody needs to open an IOP or be a business owner. But, like, while you're working with someone else, what is your vision? You know what I'm saying?
I totally get that. Absolutely.
And people lack vision. And when you lack vision, you kind of lack a purpose. Like, if you don't have a vision, like, what the fuck are you doing in life? What are you creating? Our whole purpose, I believe, as human beings, is to create. We're creating beings. Everything that we're doing, we're creating right now. Everything we do is creation. Everything you see was created by someone's freaking mind. And the beautiful thing about creation is like when you have a vision and then you make the fucking agreements with yourself and never break. That's the thing that I've done, my brother, is I make the fucking agreement with myself that regardless of what's going on the outside world,
the noise, yeah.
I'm still going to show up in my disciplines. Every fucking day, because that's the agreement I made, and I have a vision, and I'm going to take massive action every single day, despite if my dad's dying, or my grandma died, or I fucking herniated my disc, or my fucking friend got killed,
or I gotta get a
heart transplant, or I almost died. I'm still showing up, dude. I'm still showing up in the fucking vision, because I have a vision, and as I continue to grow with it, you feel so fucking good. Because now you're creating, you're doing shit, you're making an impact, you're making your fucking thoughts a reality. That's the fucking dopest shit in the world.
Well, here's the thing. It is. And the true statement and the reality of what you just said for me is your thoughts are making your reality regardless. So if they're low frequency
Absolutely.
And they're low vibration, that's what it's creating. And that's what I had to come to terms with. And I think I resonate. I mean, I love you just for who you are. And before the experience, we were close. But watching you the last 10, 11 months for me has really validated a process that I went through. You know what I mean? And not in the intensity that you experienced, but mindset wise, which is like all of the ways in which you approach your life have helped me to say, I'm going to continue to work on this part of my brain. There's a part of me that wants to like go into the victimization and I can't stand it, you know? And so I work really hard to keep that at bay. And it's what's allowed me to be sitting here with you today. I couldn't have built the studio. I couldn't have built emotion. It totally makes sense to me when you say the idea of people's visions. I had the vision. I just subconsciously didn't know that around every corner I was protecting myself and the fear that was driving me and the belief that I wasn't worthy by trying to do it for other people. So I kept playing safe, right? Thinking that, oh, it's not the right time. It's not the right time. The amount of ways in which my brain, and I know people that I work with and friends of mine and colleagues, the way our brains lie to us is absolutely, it's incredible, mm-hmm. right? And so I lived that lie for a long time mm-hmm. that I wasn't worthy, that I wasn't capable. And there's nothing worse. I mean, there's a lot of worse situations, but for me, there's nothing's been worse mental torture than to have a vision and a dream that you know is valuable and important and not pulling the trigger out. That is a seriously painful
dude,
place to be.
Dude, that is the ultimate, like, on your deathbed, like...
Regret, torture, yeah, it's bad.
That's why I always fail forward, bro. I've taken risk. Everybody told me you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. You can't do that. I've never listened to anybody, bro. I was a 1% out in the streets. You think I'm going to come into society and be fucking follow the herd? I don't follow the herd. I never did, bro.
Yeah.
I always blaze my own fucking path, man. You know?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. That's what we're here to do, bro. The people that don't follow the herd do well, but they're always ridiculed until they become successful.
Oh, yeah. I have experience
and
with
then
that.
Everybody's like, yeah. You know, oh, what are you doing? You know?
Absolutely, yeah. You said something earlier about paying attention to where you're going. And so, you know, I'm curious, like, where are you going? Like, what's...
The vision, it's already here. I feel it. So it was like in the hospital, the vision was write a book. I always was like wanted to write a book before the heart transplant because my life's been pretty freaking crazy. And to come where I came from, to make it to where I am and where I'm still going to go, is pretty impressive because not many people make it from where I was to where I am. And so the vision now, dude, is like it's coming true. It's I had the thought of what my body was going to look like, right? Because I had lost everything. And so I had that vision. I had the vision of what my life was going to look like over the next 12 months. And now the book's done. We're just working on like the business side of it. And so that's going to be out by like May or June. And just start doing some inspirational speaking, bro, motivational speaking, which is what I'm doing, you know, and see where that goes. You know, with the book, I'm going to have a journal so people could embrace abundance in 30 days. Some questions in there and stuff, some cool stuff. So, and that's really the goal, bro. And at the end of the day, it's like, if it blows up, then it was meant to blow up, right? If it doesn't, I'm still going to make an impact on people's lives. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, that's all that fucking matters, bro. Like, I don't need to make money off this shit. As a matter of fact, the money I make off of it, a lot of that shit's going to be going towards a lot of nonprofits. Like, I'm definitely going to be putting money towards Bill Scott and White, the heart transplant clinic over there. Absolutely. Donate money there. I want to put some money, like, I'm going to use the money for good, bro. You know, it ain't about money. I have business that we do I make money to do well with. So it's really about making an impact on the fucking world, bro. I've been connecting with so many cool people on social media, you know, just people that have gone through things like that I've gone through, or even more challenging. You know, it's just been fucking beautiful, man. Yeah. I've connected with so many people, dude. I'm connecting with even more different podcasts and interviews and speaking engagements. And I just want more and more of it, man. I think I have a pretty cool story. I came out of the fucking hospital and nothing slowed me down. While I was in the hospital, people were like, when did you get back to work? And I'm like, again, back to my five pillars, family, faith, family, health, hustle, and purpose. Like, hustle's part of my life. I love it. I never stop fucking working. Why would I? It's part of what makes me embrace abundance. It's part of my fucking purpose. My why is my family. So why am I going to stop working? I'm never going to stop working. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I love to work. It's something I love to do, you know? So I think that, like, now I finally, like, have no more fear. I've stepped into my true purpose. I really feel like everything that I've been through in my life led me to this, you know?
Absolutely. I can see.
Like, we're getting on this stage in like, next month, and a lot of you guys are, like, a lot more educated. You know what I mean?
I just pretend.
So. Right. But... like, I bring that fucking heart, dog. Like, my old mind would have been like, oh, well, you're not, you know, these guys are, you know. And it's like, now it's like, man, no, fuck that shit. I got no fucking fear. I'm going to tear that shit down. People are going to be like, fuck yeah, man. I want to hear more Frank Parisi.
It's funny too.
This shit is dope. You know what I mean?
People can't see.
This motherfucker died and he's fucking still out here fucking killing it. He's doing 20 pull-ups in a row, squatting 225, fucking out here helping people. I'm traveling. I'm hanging out with Redman on fucking. Oh, last week I went to the rodeo. I hung out with a bunch of fucking rappers. I was the cool guy. At South by South West, I had all the fucking rappers hanging out. I'm the guy there. Like, this guy's the fucking celebrity.
Yeah, that's badass.
You know, it's fucking cool, man. We took my son to fucking bunch of Spurs games and shit. Like, I'm living a fucking life of abundance. I'm going to Florida on fucking Friday, taking my wife out there. I'm gonna meet my boy Nick S. This is a bunch of dope shit, dude. Like, life didn't slow down. Like, fuck like that. That's sounds victim
like
shit.
It sounds like it's sped up.
It's sped up, dude. Yeah. Now that I'm like able to be out and mobile and doing more, it's like, bro, it's not stopping. I love it. I love doing this shit. It makes my vibration high. I feel better. It's just this fucking dope shit. I'm having fun, bro. Every day, I'm having fun. I'm not going to lie to you. Every day, I have fun.
It's like watching people. Sometimes people say, like, they watch you grow up or, you know, in the recovery world, it's kind of like getting to see somebody who starts the recovery journey, right? Yeah. We're all kind of beat up when we get started. And then you see the lights turn on and things change. And that's a rare, from start to finish, that's kind of a rare gift, right? For people who've been around a while.
Yeah.
And I had this rare gift with your experience where, you know, I was on the phone with you trying to figure out when I could come up and see you. And you're like, dude, I can't have anybody around. I'm on quarantine. Like, you're literally like, today's the first day I could go out in my backyard. So you have this story around like, okay, I just got out of the hospital. I got a new heart. I can't leave my house. Now I'm in my backyard. And then now today you're like, I'm going to Florida. I was here, South by Southwest. Like, so this in 9-10 months, you went from this container of your dwelling to running around the country, sharing with everyone your gratitude and excitement about life. You know, what a powerful testament.
And I was thinking of that shit there, bro, looking at the fucking deer. I was looking at the deer and I was visioning this.
That's badass.
And that's so dope because it's becoming a reality.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna just say it, you know, I'm gonna be a fucking best-selling author. It's not here yet, but I feel it.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, I feel it, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's here. We'll go back and look at this, and when that happens, we could say and be like, this motherfucker ain't crazy.
Yeah.
No, he fucking is manifesting this shit.
Well, I was telling everybody about, I told you my friend Aaron down the way, and just getting you, I mean, I get access to you, I can call you whenever, but like getting to break in this thing that I created, which is small, the studio or whatever, but like seeing it in my mind, knowing what I wanted to create, Casey would watch me be in here like, what the fuck is he doing? Like taping shit on the walls. And like, it didn't look like anything. It's like, it doesn't look like anything for a while. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, and I understand that from a creation standpoint, like people are looking at you like, what are you doing? I can't see the vision. And I think for you, it's kind of like you're in the hospital bed and that photo of you between the you with all the hoses and everything connected. And then the workout picture, right? It's like, you see that in the bed. But the nurses and everyone, even if they're amazing human beings, they're kind of like, yeah, okay, dude, like, we'll see. You know what I mean? And so that piece I really resonate with you on is this idea of like, but getting you in this position across from me to talk about your experience, I've been super excited about. Like, you, people, I think they're going to see it on the video. And Casey will nod his head, I'm sure. The idea that the energy in the room, just by you being in here and when you start to talk about the vision and your experience, like, it's complete authenticity. Like, there's no, some people try to be like cheerleaders, right? And they try to be this positive, even though they don't quite own it yet. And there's nothing about your energy.
You just walk
in and you're like, fuck yeah, right. We're here to do this thing, you know? And it's refreshing, man. Cause there's a lot of, and I'm not being judgmental. There's just a lot of pain and suffering in the world. A lot of people are hurting. A lot of people
are. Bro. And it's going to get worse, Jake. Yeah. That's the other thing, Mo. And I'm not trying to like it was, but we all know what's coming in fucking November, right? And like the world's going to get crazy, dude. That's why it's so important. Fuck all the noise. There's always going to be noise. There's going to be extra noise now. But there's always noise because there's shit that happens in life. Get rid of the fucking noise. Put on your blinders like a horse. You ever watch the horses walk downtown in San Antonio? What the fuck? They don't got, they ain't looking at shit except what the fuck is in front of them, bro. And that's what people need to do. Put the fucking blinders on and start feeding yourself with positive energy. Don't watch the fucking news. Who gives a fuck? Vote in your local election because the big election don't mean shit anyway. You ain't gonna have no fucking, the only thing you could change is your community and be the light in your community. That's my mindset. It's like, what can I change? I could change the impact of who I meet with each day.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, and if you do this, I want credit for it and I want some royalty fees, but I think on your Embrace Abundance, you need to add like a, so we have like Emotion Wellness, You Can, and I think you need to do this Embrace Abundance and then fuck the noise at the end.
Fuck the noise.
Just little buttons.
Yeah. I like that, dude. But it's true. The more that you could get rid of the fucking noise and stay focused on your vision, you don't give a fuck about nothing else, Mo.
So my other question is how, obviously, family, right? It's faith family is what I've heard you say. And I've had the pleasure of meeting your wife, who's a phenomenal human being, right? So her role in your life in general and her role in this particular experience, right? Like, can you talk a little bit about, share about that process?
Oh, dude, she's just fucking an angel sent from heaven, man. I mean, I met Kathy in high school, bro. We've been dating since we're fucking 17 years old. We've been married since 2009.
I mean, she's been putting up with you for a long time, so I know she's incredible. Long time, so, yeah.
Dude, listen. First of all, I was a bad boy. She was super smart, you know? I don't know why, you know? Whatever. God, if this is a movie, God put her in my movie for a fucking reason, you know? Yeah. She saved me on an overdose one night, and she's completely normal, an attorney. She used to fucking defend me in court when things were fucking crazy in our life. But she's just been the rock, bro. And she's been like, I'm not the man who I am without her. I probably don't even live. If I don't have her in my life, I don't even make it to be sober to even get to this point in my life.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen, dude. That's just the reality. And like, I only became successful because I was honestly able to take more risk because she was successful in her career as an attorney. So I was able to take a little bit more risk with business.
Going out on your own. Stuff
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. She's been just a rock, dude. Just amazing woman. She helps other addicts, like husbands and wives. Like, she's this fucking super great woman and fucking caring. And dude, like, that's, I feel, man, for me, bro, like when you find a right woman, dude, you're going to go wherever you're going a lot faster, bro. You know what I mean? How she put up with me for all those years, I don't know. But once I got my shit together, we really put together fucking... Because, dude, we came out to Texas with $8,000, bro. And she had no job. And I had was making $36,000 a year, and the money was going to run out. You know, we just made this shit work. And we built a pretty good fucking life.
Yeah.
And careers for herself. And she, when, you know, when all this went down in the hospital, bro, she was with me... Every night, dude, three nights I made her leave out of like the 60 that I was there. Literally 24/7, advocate for me. Right now, she's takes care, makes sure all my doctor's appointments. I have a lot of medications, which I've now been dropped down to, which is beautiful. Because when I came out, bro, I was on like 15 different meds, my brother, and then a bunch of supplements. And I had like, thank God for her. Because like, if I had to be the only person handling this shit, I would. But, like, she helps me to, like, compartmentalize and be like, no, you just focus on your growth. I'm going to handle your meds for you. I'm going to handle your doctor's appointments. Yeah, dude, so I could do, you know. She's a fucking beautiful woman, dude. I just love the shit out of her so much.
Yeah.
Like, just we've grown together. And it's a beautiful thing, dude. Beautiful fucking thing. I was just talking about that with my friends, you know. When you find that woman, man, hold on to her, bro. She's fucking, you're not going to, there's not many. So when you grab her, hold her. You're not going nowhere, Kathy.
No, I love that. Yeah, I was just thinking about that process. Of,
oh, you dude, know. You want me to read you something beautiful?
Yeah, let's hear
okay,
it.
Okay, man, I might cry, though. So, sorry, dude. You're good. So she wrote me this. It's going to be in my book. She wrote this in the hospital to me, brother. It's really fucking beautiful. I'm going to find it right now for you because it's worth reading and you could edit, but it's definitely worth fucking reading. Man. Where the fuck is it? Did I fucking erase this shit? No.
While we're waiting, I want to do a quick plug. If Laha's watching this, if you see this coffee cup right here, this is for you guys. So, Jeremy, where you at?
I don't have this on my phone right now, dude. This sucks because it's the most amazing fucking thing in the world that she wrote, but it's not here. I don't know where the fuck it did. I might have erased it on accident. Anyway, she wrote me this thing, bro, and it was just... I'm going to tell her to send it to me now, dude, because we could edit this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Just have her send it. One more. Another way she's saving your ass.
I know.
She even shows up in the podcast.
You met... It's in my book. But, dude, it was so beautiful, bro. And it's like, that's the thing about marriage, man. Like, when you're... The thing about me and my wife that's beautiful is we both have a vision. You know what I mean? So it's not just my vision. Like, we're writing this together. Like, even the book that we wrote, I had a company help me, you know, with some stuff. But, like, me and her kind of wrote it together. Like, that's it's my book. Yeah. It's been beautiful, dude. Even writing the book with her has been so beautiful. Like, it's drawn us so close together. We've cried together, you know? literally like cried together writing this fucking book. It's been fucking going, like, it's been the most healing. I advise any man that's been through shit to write a fucking book. Write a book. We're God's offering to the world, bro. You're God's offering to the world. You suffered in life for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We suffer for a reason because we suffered and we persevered and we're at the end of it. So how many fucking people can we help?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's this process that I'm going through right now. An incredible human being. His name's Mark England. He created this coaching thing. It's called program. It's called Enlifted. And I'm a couple classes into his certification. I've been kind of talking with him. And it's all about the power of words and how they create. And there's this interesting... He has a couple words that he gives the definition to, like abracadabra for one, right? It's like, and it's, I'll probably screw it up, but it's Aramaic and it really means with our words we create. Mm-hmm. And the other piece to this that I'm thinking about with writing the book part is the word spell, like words of great influence, mm-hmm. or having influence over somebody, right? And so what spell have you cast, right? And so am I under a spell of this victimization or do I have the spell that is propelling me forward and has me creating and you know, empowering other people to do the same thing and being inspiration. And so when you just said that, I think just men in general tapping into our emotional IQ and the emotional side of who we are and being able to express ourselves, writing is very powerful, whether it's a book or it's a journal entry or it's just paying attention to how we speak. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Man. And I feel like that's what I've been hearing you say today is this very intentional with what you're
everything.
When you say fuck the noise, it's like I'm getting real clear on where I want to go and supercharging that vehicle by saying, okay, all of these things are in the way. And although they might be fun and they're cool distractions, they're no longer because they're going to get in the way of where I'm trying to head. And I feel like that's hard for people.
It is. And even for me, it's like even people, bro. Like I audit the circle. And if the energy in my circle is like off, we'll have a conversation. But if it doesn't get, you know, the energy doesn't become synergetic, then I have to separate, you know? Oh, that's totally hard as well. Man. That's hard too, man. Because I've done that with friends that I've had for years, man. But it's like we're in life, right? Like for me, I think it's like there's three important people that we ride with, right? It's like our mentors, like people that are, like for me, I'm hanging around people that I want to be like, right? Like those are my mentors. Like I'm learning from them. I'm a sponge to them. They're where I want to be in life, or they have certain attributes that I want in life. It doesn't even have to be financial or like success. They might be a good dad. You know, I have a real good friend.
Or just super positive.
Yeah, like whatever, like it is, right? So it's like, that's like, I want to surround myself around that energy. You know what I mean? Because the energy we surround ourselves with is what we become, bro.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I want to be around that energy. So I need these mentors in my life to help me to get, walk my path the way I need to walk my path. The next important thing for me that I found, dude, because as you become successful in life, you start to actually become a little lonely too, you know? So finding your tribe that you're walking with that are doing the same thing that you're doing and walking that journey together and being able to bounce stuff off each other because you're kind of in the same position in life, whether it be with, like, you know, business or family stuff, a dad stuff, you know, wherever it is, but growing with your tribe. Mm-hmm. And then the most important is just the people that we help, dude, right? Like, we level up, like, right? The rising tide raises all boats. So, like, we leveling up so that we could level up the next people under us and keep that whole rotation going, dude. And if people focus on that shit instead of all the bullshit, they won't even have time to focus on the other bullshit. And they won't even want to focus on the bullshit.
Yeah.
They'll be so focused on their growth, that's all they're going to want to focus on. And then they'll be able to embrace abundance, bro. Mm. That's just the truth.
Yeah, I love that.
You know?
I love that.
Yeah.
Embrace abundance and fuck the noise.
And fuck the noise, dude. The noise slows you down. People slow you down, you know?
I mean, what we're really talking about is the disease of comfort. You know, I think that's really the illness of our society right now.
Things are easy.
They can be, right? Very easy. They're both easy and hard, I think. Like, mm-hmm. I think just like life is both long and short. You know what I mean? You can perspective. So the process that we've started here and, you know, the our main sort of intervention with people is to make scenarios that allow them to step into being uncomfortable and to say, hey, challenge yourself on a regular basis, because awesome. There's a lot of value in that. And it's it. You said it earlier, and I just wanted to touch base, kind of waiting on your story here. But I wanted to go back to it. The idea of comfort, man, like it's such a weird, enticing thing because it like it feels so good in the moment, and then what it does is you get this immediate relief in exchange for long term discomfort.
Misery.
When I really play the tape through, right? That's kind of like what addiction is. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to get immediate relief in exchange for long-term hardship and suffering. Mm-hmm. Or I can do controlled bouts of challenging, uncomfortable scenarios to build up my stress tolerance and train my body and my mind to be uncomfortable, to be live in the unknowing, right? And then when I do that over a period of time, what ends up happening is this long-term, high vibrational, seriously positive frequency that has me, you running around the globe, has me doing things I didn't think were possible for myself, right? As far as like getting on a podcast or starting something or building a program. Like mm-hmm. I literally had no idea, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the story's not about me today, but I'm relating to everything you're saying. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, I was in a Whataburger parking lot with a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that was all about low vibration, low frequency, kind of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about bitterness and resentment and mm-hmm. being blocked mm-hmm. and
well, having
a complete self-perspective that was rooted in lack of worth, believing the lies that I had adopted since childhood and really not having or seeing a way out, mm-hmm. you know? And the catalyst for extreme change, transformation, maximum effort. And I think it's the same for you, right? The catalyst, because you know, I would think this is true for you. Like there was a level of some comfort prior to the main event of your heart situation. Like you kind of like, I would say you weren't as committed to the process, right? You weren't as disciplined. There was noise there, you said it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was like, when I had the experience of like, holy shit, I'm about to end my life. How did I get here? And I'm looking at like, I'm 18 years sober. I'm 46 years old. How the fuck did this happen? That catapulted me into a position to say, what are you going to do about it? Like, what do you do? You know? And I didn't have I would have loved to have had your perspective from the get, like as soon as I realized it, like super positive, super, I'm a warrior. I like cried in my bed for a while and felt sorry for, you know what I mean? And kind of plugged along a little bit. And then it finally clicked. I didn't have an out of body experience, but I had a moment where I don't know, say it's God's voice or just the message came through and it was nobody's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you are responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that's a liberating, exciting and terrifying proposition. Mm-hmm. Right. So,
I'm late. So like, don't think like that. Like I was like, oh, I've got a heart transplant. Let's fucking go. Like, yo, no, I had my moments, dog. You know what I mean?
I had my moments, but it's not the fucking regular
schedule of programming. You get what I'm saying?
Moments? Let's talk about one of those moments. Do you have one that?
Yeah, man. Like, just like, fuck, bro. Like, what the fuck? I just, like, my life just started getting fucking really fucking good, dude. Like, I really, you know, I started becoming pretty fucking successful. My life started to get fucking good. And like, my son and then, like, what the fuck? Like, what is this going to look like when I first got there and I'm in the bed and I'm fucking, where's my future going to, then when they told me I had to need a heart transplant, you're going to be immunocompromised your whole life. What is my life going to look like?
And then
it was massive.
So it goes from there to like, this is what the fuck my life is going to look like.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. But I had great people in the hospital, bro. I had, like, I've always been the one that people come to for help. No one calls me and says, Frank, how you doing? Everyone's like, bro, do you know what the fuck happened? Or giving me their shit, right? Or do you have advice for me?
The burden of strength.
Or like, people call me for advice all the time or a favor. And it was like, the first time in a long time, my brother, that like I needed, I needed strength from others. I needed help. And that was the beautiful thing about it too. You know, it wasn't even like so much my family, brother, like that was there for me. My mom, my aunt Camille, love you Aunt Camille. My cousin John, my cousin Charles, a very handful of my family that actually like called me.
But it was basically coming from strangers.
Love was from strangers. Yeah. And honestly, my people, bro. I had people coming from all over the country. All my people, honestly, a lot of people I met in recovery and on this journey, not even just people in recovery, just since I've been sober over the past 13 years, all the beautiful people that I met in my life that I had an impact on, all were there for me, praying for me, there for me. The craziest thing, shout out Steve Wisniewski. Steve Wisniewski is a 13 years on the Oakland Raiders. This is another Black Mirror moment. I grew up an Oakland Raider fan my whole life. No idea why my whole family's Raider fans, right? Die hard. I meet Steve Wisniewski a few years ago in my gym. Me and him become super good friends. He played offensive line for the Raiders. 8-time Pro Bowl, 2-time All-Pro. Won the national championship with the Penn State. This guy became such a good friend of mine. This man is in my hospital room, bro. Bringing my laundry up for me. Okay? 300-pound offensive lineman. And he's sitting over me. Praying with fucking holy water on my head, dude.
Yeah.
Like 2 days a week. You know what I'm saying? That's fucking beautiful,
yeah,
dog.
That's amazing.
How far? And I used to play John Madden with this guy. Now he's like going to make sure my son's okay.
Fucking incredible.
Incredible, man. Dude. He got me tickets to the Raider game this year. I went to the Raiders game. Another God thing. God was like, we're going to have the Raiders score the most points in the history of their franchise.
Just for Frank.
Just for Frank. They scored 63 points. My son's first game. Steve Wisniewski got me the tickets to the game. How beautiful, bro. You can't even make this shit up. It's fucking crazy. It was the love of Chris Martin. He wasn't even my nurse, this guy. He became like my family to me. He was a combat medic. I needed guys like that in my life, Demo. I'm a street guy. You know what I mean? I needed a fucking guy that been where I, like, we both saw the same shit. You know what I mean? And I had him there to be like, bro, you're a fucking warrior. I needed that. My other nurse, bro, I had this other nurse. He was another medic fucking in the military. This guy, Matt. Dude, he would walk me around the fucking whole hospital. He'd bring me outside. I'd have like a pump. I'd walk like 5 miles with him outside the hospital. I wasn't supposed to do that. But these motherfuckers were there for me, bro. They were like, come on, let's go, bro. You got this shit. And I needed that. Like, that's who I am, Mo. I'm like, yeah, let's fucking go.
What I'm saying?
I need that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. What I love about what you're saying is, and I think it's rare, you know, I think, and maybe it's not rare, maybe it's just my perspective, but lots of times people aren't getting given credit, right? There's this kind of self-made like mentality that gets fired up on social sometimes, being hard and all this kind of stuff.
And
to hear you, because I believe what you're saying is true. It'd be true for me, right? Is that, we come in the world completely helpless. So there's nobody self-made, right? Like from the time we start breathing, we are dependent, right? So, but for you to give credit and not be sitting here trying to pump yourself up as this massive hard ass who just kind of went through it.
Like, oh, I'm not, bro.
No, I love it. Like,
Let me explain something to you, brother. I don't want to cut you off, but no one's the shit. Okay. Let me explain something to you. I was in the hospital for fucking 6 weeks. I didn't shower for 6 weeks. You know what I mean? I had things in every part of my body, bro. Yeah. I went from this man that was jacked in great shape to this shell of a man, dude. I got young nurses cleaning me. Pretty young nurses bathing me. No one's the shit.
Yeah.
Nobody. That's coming for everyone. That comes for everybody.
Yeah.
So my message is also develop the fucking human being that can withstand anything life throws at them, even death, and still fucking thrive. That's the fucking message. Because it's coming. Hard shit comes for all of us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So develop that fucking human that could withstand the storm and still fucking thrive in the storm, dude. You know what I mean? And if everyone focused on that shit, man, the world would be fucking amazing.
Are you bringing this? Have you had the opportunity to meet any people that are a little bit, they're on their early stage of their heart transplant journey? Like, are you being able to like talk to them?
Not yet. No. But I've met with some people that have had like they're needing liver transplants, different transplant people. I met a really cool girl out because I like joined this like Facebook page and we're like 40 and over bodybuilding and stuff. But I met this girl, super cool, Jennifer Greenwood. I just shouted you out. She's in like Washington, dude, state, Oregon. A pacemaker, fucking warrior. It's so cool. You know, you're connecting with people with similar shared experiences that have like similar mindsets. It's fucking awesome. I would love, that's what I would love to really create through the book and all that, is like an embrace abundance community of like savage warriors that have actually been through some shit, you know? And then maybe they want to join us and we do some coaching or something. I don't know. We'll see what the fuck goes. It'd be cool,
like a retreat where you guys get together.
Super fucking cool, dude. Like, I want to get all these people together and just do a workout. I love that. Like, all of us that have been through some crazy shit.
I know a guy with a gym, so.
Yes, like, we've come here, you know?
Yeah.
Because I even met this other guy, Jared, dude, and he had an immunocompromised disease, dude. I mean, he almost died. This guy's gone like 315 now, dude. And he almost died like last year, bro. It's crazy. He's like going blind. He's one of the most positive people. You know, you meet such beautiful fucking human beings and we think we got problems. I hear people come. I had a guy call me in like August, like, I'm depressed that it's summer's off. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, bro?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Okay, bro, I got to go get this pick put in my neck.
I'm going to go get a pick put in my neck, you know? Are you like, how about like then? How about, here's another thing I didn't talk about. When I had the first surgery to put they put a pump in. It's called an Impella pump. They put 13 staples in my chest and it kept my heart pumping so to see if it would recover. I took no meds. I took nothing. Ibuprofen, bro.
Damn.
Ibuprofen. But then when they did cut my chest open, and then they did the arm, so they did my arm debridement June 1st, and then June 3rd I got a heart transplant. So I had two major surgeries in 3 days. So when they debride my arm was like missing that much. It was missing. The massive pain, I was on Dilaudid and OxyContin. Every time they would change my arm, I'd have to be on like two shots of Dilaudid and OxyContin 10 milligram. And I stood on the fucking OxyContin 25 days after the hospital because I had to go get this clean 3 times a week. And the pain is like, I would take my chest and cut open like every day versus this. Oh, yeah. Dude.
I remember you talking about it, like a burning.
Like you're on fire.
Yeah.
For a whole day. So every time they clean it, you feel like your arm's on fire for 24 hours, even on the meds. So it numbs it a little bit. But like even that, going through that, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm sober fucking 12 years, but like having to take this shit, like no choice. I didn't want to take it. And they were like, you have to take it. Especially when I got my chest cut open because you're in so much trauma and shock. Your body will never heal without the medication, bro. That's what it's actually there for. All the fentanyl was too weak for me.
Damn.
That's how much pain I was in. They had to give me Dilaudid.
I'm not surprised. You're like Chuck Norris, dude.
Fucking crazy. But I kept thinking in my head, this is evil. I was honest with everybody. I fucking hated it, bro. It was like another test. I felt like dark and light. God and the devil were after my soul through this whole process, bro. And I'm fucking staying in the light, bro.
Yeah.
Fuck the dark, bro. You ain't fucking with me. I see it. I see the darkness. It's around all of us, bro. All this shit is real. The dark and the light is real. It's around us. Sometimes that fucking dark will come at you at some light shit, but it's not. You got to keep your sword sharp and be awake to what the fuck's really going on around you. You know what I mean? Because I see that shit too. Sometimes you might have an opportunity to make some money. It might not be the right money to be making. It might not be the right people you're going to make business with. Don't just do it for the right reasons. Things come at you sideways, bro. You know what I mean? That's why it's good to keep the sword sharp. Stay in positive vibration. You make positive, smart moves in life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Did you get your letter back yet?
Oh, shit. I could find it, though. We'll probably all start to cry if it happens.
That's why I want it.
Okay, here it is, brother.
Nice. Make sure you get close to that mic.
Oh, my God.
Everybody to hear it.
Fucking ridiculous.
For you short people, you can move the mic down a little bit, too.
Okay. You ready? So my wife wrote this for me in the hospital, bro. And several of my friends that I had them read it actually cried.
Yeah, I bet.
So, and this is when, like, all this was going down, we were living in the hospital, bro. It was crazy for weeks. And she said, marriage is a marathon. It takes dedication and patience and perseverance. It takes energy, sometimes massive amounts of it, to keep moving forward. It takes momentum to keep growing stronger and closer as a couple. It requires nurturing and tenderness and care. Sometimes marriage is easy. It's light and airy. Belly laughs and Sunday afternoon naps. There will be the most beautiful moments shared between two people that only they can appreciate and understand. There will be beautiful children that come from them, raised to be strong and smart and kind. And sometimes marriage is hard, so fucking hard. There will be setbacks. There will be roadblocks. There will be disappointments and hurt. There will be resentment and anger and frustration. There will be times when you feel all you do is give and there's nothing left. There will be lost jobs and lost family and lost friends and lost babies. There will be trials and tribulations and failing hearts. And that's when people give up. They don't want to put the effort into work through the struggle and come out strong on the other side of it. They say stupid shit like, it isn't what I signed up for. What I want you to know is this is exactly what I signed up for. Ugh, I let it flow, I don't give a fuck. I vow to love you for better or worse, in sickness and in health. For as long as we shall live. And that's exactly what I will do. I will always stand by you like a tree. I will always be your advocate and your biggest fan. I will always tell Sonny how lucky he is to have you as a dad and that you're a warrior. I was reading this in the hospital. When you need me to, I will wipe your tears and I will wash your feet and everything in between. I will be strong for you in ways I didn't know I could. And maybe you didn't realize it, but you have done it for me when I needed it too. I will move mountains, sure, to make sure that you have everything you need and promise to take such good care of you in any way I can. I promise to continue to grow with you in all aspects of our marriage and always put our family above all else. I will love and respect and honor you for all the days of our life. I will love you forever. Your Bibble, your babe, your cat. Fucking love that woman.
That's powerful.
Powerful, bro. The love is what kept me going, bro. We need that shit in our heart, dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The love is what kept me going, bro. The love of everyone calling, praying for me, being there for me. You know what I mean? That shit, fucking, when I was down, I needed that, bro. We all need that shit. You know what I mean? Even, like, no one's fucking warrior, dog. Everyone's human. Yeah. Everyone got a heart, and everyone needs that love, dude. I don't give a fuck who you are, dog. You know what I mean?
What's
beautiful, though.
Oh, man, it's like,
oh, my fucking God, Kathy. Fuck me up every time. Make grown men cry. So beautiful. So beautiful. Leave that in.
Oh, yeah, power.
Oh, my God.
What I want to... What I want to say to you, though...
Jesus Christ, I love her. Yeah. I just love life. Like, how beautiful is that? How beautiful is that, bro? This is what I want. Go out and now do good in the world today. You know what I'm saying? Feel me and go out and do your good. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Like, I'm not fucking educated. I'm smart. Believe me, I'm smart. I know how to fucking make shit happen. But just go out off of my life and you go create your beautiful fucking life.
What's up?
Be shit to stop you.
There's a couple things that were coming to my mind right now.
Oh, man, that was fucking deep, literally, mind is blown.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, lots of things out there are like shiny and pretty, and but the things that are most attractive when I'm really centered in myself, right, is gratitude and persistence.
Yeah.
Those two qualities, to be persistent in something and committed. I also like, I really like, respect loyalty. It's like a big
absolutely,
you know? But your energy, your presence is like, it just came to me right now. I was like, man, you soaked up all this love to like get put back together. And it's interesting that it was around the heart, because that's like where we feel the love, right? So all the love goes into this heart. There's this, and now you are out in the world giving back love. Like, that's what you're, it's this cycle, right? So the gratitude that I'm you're just reeking of it, emanating it. It's coming off of you, like, and I'm soaking it up. Is gratitude is so beautiful. To be so grateful for your life, for everything that happened. And you're like not just sitting here saying, oh, I'm grateful that I'm breathing and I'm alive. You're like, I'm grateful for all of these people, the ones that walked with me, the wife who sat with me in the hospital, who wrote me this beautiful piece of literature that is like something I'm going to stick with. You got the whole studio crying. You know what I mean? Like, it's an amazing story.
It's so beautiful, absolutely bro. Amazing. It's like a great movie, but it's my life.
Yeah.
It's like, how beautiful. What a cool fucking life.
Yeah.
And how much cooler is it going to get?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I see it.
Me too, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm really, really happy.
This is my truth. It's hard, dude. It's no bullshit, man.
I'm just really happy I get to be a part of it on a small scale. Yeah,
no, you're part of it, bro. Fucking love you, dog.
I definitely want a fucking book, so.
Oh, you're getting it, signed. Dude. We're getting it. I can't wait for it to come out.
You better put fuck the noise in there.
You're in my book. You're my acknowledgments, man.
I love it.
I'm so excited, bro. Yeah. You know?
I'm really excited to see where you go, man. I see you entering the stratosphere. We were talking earlier. I think so too, bro.
I think God didn't keep me here. You know, yesterday again, like I had like, my liver enzymes were 11 times higher, bro. They're supposed to be at 50. They were at 650 for like a month. And, but it's like, yo, I give it all to God, dude. And I'm like, God's going to do right by me because... Right? I'm doing right by me. I'm doing right by him, right? He blessed me with this body. I take care of it. I thank him for it. I take care of it by my actions, right? I eat healthy. I get my rest. I take my medication. Mm-hmm. You know, I work out like a beast, you know, for what I could do. So, like, he's going to bless me, dog.
I want you to do something for me.
Yeah.
That last sentence you just said, I work out like a beast, and then you ended it with, like, for what I can do. You kind of dismissed it. Fuck that.
Just
say the first part.
Yeah, it is. It's true. I am a beast.
You work out like a beast.
I do. I can outwork a lot of motherfuckers.
Don't discredit it.
No, you're right. You're right.
You can thank Mark England for that. He's been...
You're absolutely right. No, because what you say is fucking... is power, bro. Spelling. You're absolutely correct. It's casting out spells, bro. Look at the world.
You're savage.
Why do you think TV says programming? Yeah. They're programming your mind.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
This is like, you know, it's people aren't awake to this shit, man. Let's wake them up, you know? Let's fucking wake them up.
I think the word savage, and I probably overuse it, but only for people that I think are that way. But for me, the savagery isn't in the physicality or the aggressiveness or the fact that you could do some damage or that you work out like a beast. Like, those things are savage, right? Mm-hmm. The savagery for me is the softness. It's the vulnerability. It's the humility, right? The fact that you've taken the charge of this massive responsibility for this incredible story. Like I see it like it's you have a responsibility, right?
To
like
tell this
to tell the story, like you to take care of it, to say, hey, this needs to be protected and received in a manner because it's not for me. It's for
everybody else. Bro, I honestly believe that,
Jason.
I see
you taking that super seriously, and I had a lot of respect for that. And to me, that's the savagery, right? The tears. You knew what was going to happen. I knew what was going to happen when you read the letter. You knew, but you still read it. You know what I mean? It's like not hiding, right?
Yeah.
A traditional sort of masculine.
No, I think
masculinity.
Men need to have love. Men need to have vulnerability, but also be fucking able to protect too, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like someone fucks with my wife or my family, like you'll see the savage come out, but I also will love you to death.
Yeah.
I'll cry with you.
Absolutely.
I could cry. It's good. It's that cleansing, brother.
Yeah.
I have a high emotional IQ. Took years to teach that, to put that program into my mind.
Absolutely.
You know, it took a lot of years because I would never, ever cry in front of another man, dude. I was taught the opposite of that, you know? Now I have an open heart.
Big boys don't cry.
Totally different. I don't give a fuck. I'll cry. Sometimes, dude, I've cried so much. Sometimes it's like gratitude, dude. You know what I mean? Like, that was gratitude. That was just like how beautiful, you know? I'll be driving sometimes, just fucking cry, bro. Feels so
I'm just
good.
Grateful to be so connected to people these days to where I can connect to that story and the power in it because it's a blessing, you know? So the idea that I'm reaping the benefits of being connected to you and your story, your strength, resonating with the struggle, right? And sort of what you had to go through, and then being in awe of like what you've created for yourself and people around you. So you're definitely somebody that I look up to. I respect madly. I love you.
I love you too, my brother, so much.
And I really want to thank you for just trusting my dumb ass with a podcast to like have this conversation.
You know how it is.
And I have no idea what it's going to look like, but I know what it sounds like. And it was absolutely phenomenal.
I had so much fun. I feel better. I feel part of this. A lot of this stuff for me too is like therapy, dog. The more I talk about all this stuff, it's like not only healing, helping heal other people, I'm healing myself along the process. Yeah. You know, so it's just beautiful, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful. What a beautiful day. Let's go fucking crush the rest of the week, dude. It's just fucking beautiful. Help people, elevate, focus on evolution and elevation and helping. That's it, dude.
Is there anything,
God will bless.
Is there anything before we go that you want to
Yes, share? I definitely want to, if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at FrankParisi2011. I post stories on there every day and motivational shit, my whole entire journey. My book is coming out. We don't know yet. We're hoping to push for May 8th, which is the day I almost died. If not, we're going to look at it for June 3rd. It's going to be out on Amazon and a few other platforms. I'll have it on Kindle and audio too. I'm going to be doing a bunch of speaking. Me and Jason are going to be speaking at the Neuro Hero Conference, April 19th and 20th, doing a few other podcasts and speaking engagements. I'll be up in a podcast April 29th in New York and a few other speaking stuff that I have so far. But I think once the book comes out, I'll probably start to get more.
Absolutely. You're super powerful, dude. The energy is
speaking engagements. Yeah. I really want to, you know, we'll see, you know. We'll see where God takes it, man. You know, I'm going out because I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, man.
Yeah. Love you, dude.
I love you too, man. Thanks.
Yeah, this was dope.
Thank you for connecting with us on today's episode of the Emotion Podcast, where we discuss all things mental health. Connect every week as we explore incredibly intimate stories of persistence and hope. Delve into mental health education and explore valuable resources. Available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And visit emotionwellness.com for more information.